You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Love our children's ministry. We've got a great children's ministry. And so I know this, if you're looking to serve someplace and God's nudging you, I know for me, when I first started seeking the Lord with my life, the first area that the Lord put me into was the bus ministry, working with kids and then teaching a little kids class. And I guess I figure the Lord had to teach me how to deal with children before he taught me how to deal with adults. I don't know. Maybe that's a bad joke. But if you would like to get plugged into that ministry, you can see Landon or Maggie. They would love to be able to help you get connected because we have Sunday morning, 9 and 11 o'clock classes. And they have a rotation that they go through, so they'd love to be able to get you connected. They got Sunday night classes and then Wednesday night classes as well. And then also plan to have your kids sign them up for Vacation Bible School or help out for Vacation Bible School if you want to help in either way, signing them up or serving in some capacity. You can see Landon or Maggie for that. But got an announcement to make. I'm nervous about it. Somebody already making the announcement for me. There we go. Groundbreaking service. So July 20th, we are officially doing a groundbreaking service. Is anybody nervous other than me? No, nobody's nervous? Okay, I'm nervous for all of you. We're doing a groundbreaking service. We're going to be doing one groundbreaking service at 11 o'clock July 20th. July 20th, meaning this, if you show up at 9 o'clock on July 20th, you'll be waiting till 11 o'clock for service. And then if you show up in here, you'll be alone by yourself. But if you show up over there outside, inside of our proposed church building area, then you'll be in good company. July 20th, we are going to be doing one service, 11 o'clock. It's going to be back everybody together outside. We're going to have chairs out there. We're going to have a tent set up out there. I will say, if you don't like bugs and you don't like heat, either bring an umbrella or some bug spray. But plan to join us for this momentous occasion as we do dedicate kind of that day to taking that big step. We finalized this past week the final portion of taking the bid for the concrete footers. So that is going to all start happening here within the next month. And so it's a big deal. It's a big deal. We're doing everything that we can, stepping out by faith. No banks involved. We're just trusting the Lord. And right now, as far as we have gotten financially wise, which, can I say this, is a great deal. Our church building's paid for. That's going to be delivered July 10th. It's going to be out there in the field. That's already been paid for, $224,000. The money for the drain field and the lagoon being filled in, $32,000. The money for the digging of the footers and backfilling, $52,000. And then $118,000 for the pouring of the footers for the new building. That is what we have right now at this moment in our account. And then after that, we're just waiting on God, all right? But we're taking our steps. We're trusting the Lord. And I'll say, listen, plan to be here. Plan to be here. If you're invested in Brimley, do not miss that day. Do not miss that day. If this is your church home, if this is where where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be there that day. It's going to be great. You're going to get to hear from different people speaking into what this church has done for them. Obviously God working through the church. And so a plan to be here that day, one service, July 20th. 11 a.m., I'd say get out your phones and put it in your calendar, but I just told you to put your phones away. So my wife's like, yep, that's why I'm not on my phone. That's why I'm not on my phone. It's a big step of faith. It's a big step of faith, but I truly am excited about what God is doing here. It just blows my mind. The statement is true that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. And that's what he's done here. Also, that night, you'll want to return that night because it's our mid-year church assessment. And so that night is a great night to, we have all of our ministry, different ministry leaders come and share their ministry work, their ministry blessings, their ministry vision, obviously through the mission at Brimley here. And our mission on the back wall, we seek to love God first, right? We seek to serve, not be served. So you'll definitely want to be there. Both services, July 20th, promise you won't want to miss it. And so today we're talking about risk and reward. Risk and reward. Anybody ever play the game Risk? I never played it one time, so I don't know anything about the game Risk and Reward. But risk and reward. In our life, we take many risks. You can open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, by the way. And we're going to be going through verse number 1 through 6. We only have, after today's sermon, we only have two more messages in Ecclesiastes. And then we're going to be going into the book of Ruth, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. So I'm excited about it. So as you're turning to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, in our life, we take many risks, not fully knowing the outcome of our choices. We take financial risk for the investment of our future, or risk our career for a new job, hoping it all works out in our favor. Whatever the risk may be in your life, we all have them. We're all confronted with them. Today, Solomon starts off talking about risk and reward for gain. You could even call it an investment strategy. Solomon was a genius when it came to commerce, buying and trading to amass great wealth for himself. He was willing to take risk and hope for great reward. Solomon invested in many worldly ventures in his life for his benefit and for his glory. He learned about risk and reward. However, Solomon spent his whole life gaining the world, but losing his way. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 would say this, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Solomon spent his whole life, while his soul was not lost, his way of life was absolutely lost. He gets to the end of his life, and it's like, it's all a waste. It's all a mess. For what is it profit if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? As Christians, we can be so caught up in trying to save our money, our time, and our lives from giving them to God, only to have them to be wasted and lost to the world. That's what happened to Solomon. Today, let's take a look at risk and reward for the kingdom of heaven, for the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Father, I love you, and Lord God, just thankful to be here today. Thankful for your word that does teach us and instruct us, Lord. I pray that you'd bless us completely, Lord, today. Give us understanding. Obviously, your Holy Spirit works through the word of God and goes past and outline, Lord, you, the way you intricately work in our minds and connect scripture together. I pray that ultimately your outcome would be accomplished today through your word. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. Number one, write it down. Risk and reward. Risk and reward. You're going to have to forgive me ahead of time. I must be having some kind of allergy. So if I'm snorting snot and doing all that stuff, I apologize. Now I'm just going to gross you out a little bit. It's just the way it's going to be. So risk and reward. Verse number one says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon thee. What Solomon is talking about here is taking a loaf of bread and taking it out to Lake Superior and throwing the loaf of bread on the water and watching the loaf float and maybe get a little soggy, but eventually the loaf is going to come back. That's not necessary. I just wanted to see just your expressions on your face. I love it from this perspective. So that's not exactly what he's talking about. He's not talking about taking a loaf of bread and throwing it on the water. But he's talking about the aspect here of investing, So I'll give you a little bit of context. He's talking about grain on ships. In Solomon's day, in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 22, 23, and in verse 15, he says, "For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years," that's an important phrase, "once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks, besides that he had of the merchants and of the traffics and of spices, merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for of riches and for wisdom." Solomon would take of the wealth and the resources that he had garnered from the land that he was in, and he would take those resources, he would put them on ships, and he would send them out to buy and sell and trade for the purpose of gain. When he's talking about cast your bread upon the water, he's not talking about going down here to the river, Lake Superior, and taking a piece of bread and casting it on the water. He's talking about the idea of investing here. Yes, obviously, he's talking about worldly investments, but I want to take a look at risk and reward, but I want it to be that spiritual application. Even Jesus talked about a lot about money in Scripture, but it was to get our focus on heaven, not on our wallet or on our pocketbook. He doesn't say, seek ye first your pocketbook or your purse. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, then all these things shall be added unto you. And so, here, Solomon does teach us some things about risk and reward. The first thing we see is action. Action is involved with taking risk. Notice the phrase, cast thy bread. There's action involved. The action of doing something with the desired outcome in mind. Here, it's the action. In this case, Solomon is talking about worldly investments. So we see there's an action that must take place, right? Something must happen. That casting, that going out and sending forth. It's kind of like the guy that says, you know, I'd like to catch a fish on my hook, but you never throw the hook in the water. You never cast that hook in the water. That fish isn't just going to come up and jump on that hook. And so we see the first course of it's action. The second we see the investment involved with taking the risk. Cast thy what? Thy bread. Your substance. Some of what you have. The word cast, and I want you to think about this word cast, it is not a conservative word. The word cast is not a conservative word. Solomon was willing to liberally invest much in his endeavors to amass great riches in the world. Solomon was generous with his investments in this world, but very stingy with his investments in the kingdom of heaven. Too many Christians have the play it safe mentality towards the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever noticed that? We'll invest big and we'll take big risk in our life, but when it comes to investing in the kingdom of heaven, how often do we play it's safe as Christians? Risk, which is inherent in losing your life for the sake of Christ, is embedded in the heart of Christian faith. If we aren't taking risks for God, we aren't living faithfully for God. If we aren't taking risk for God, we aren't living faithfully for God. First, we see action, then we see the investment, and then, I want you to notice, and then we see the reward. Verse number one says, cast thy bread upon the water. Send out that investment. It takes action. It takes investment. Send it out, for thou shalt find it after how many days? Many days. Did you notice the phrase, every 3 years? Every 3 years, Solomon would send out those ships, and every 3 years, they would come back. And you know, part of the problem with us and as Christians investing into the kingdom of heaven is we want to see immediate results. We want to see that little chart like on a stock market, you know. Oh, my, it's down. Oh, it's up. Oh, it's down. It's up. And we don't see that. And sometimes because we don't see that, it's hard for us to invest in the kingdom of heaven. But can I say this? Without investing, you're not going to see a reward. Thou shalt find it after many days. Many days. It's easy to want the reward without the investment, but God does not work that way. Matthew chapter 6, you've heard me say it a million times. Matthew 6, 33, you could probably say it with me. If you can, say it with me. But seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God. And then after that, after you seek him first, after you seek the investment of heaven. I like what Revelations chapter 3, talking about the Laodicean church. Once again, he says, man, this church is so full of themselves. They think they have need of nothing. They're so focused on themselves. They think they have everything, but from God's perspective, they were completely what? Poor, naked, and blind. And you know what God says? He says, I call you to buy of me, to invest of me, he says, a gold that's tried in the fire. That's what he says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. We want God to bless first, and then we're willing to take that step, invest that time, invest that resource. Verse 2 also speaks to being a liberal investor, not a conservative one. You ever heard the phrase, you reap what you sow? Have you ever heard that one? If I go out there, I'm going to take these plant seeds, these little seeds, and I'm just going to plant one. Who would do that? Now, if you're a farmer, you're going out there, man, you're throwing that seed out. You want the biggest bumper crop that you could possibly get. And I love here in verse number 2, Solomon speaks to being a liberal investor, not a conservative one. Look at it. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall befall thee. He's saying, hey, send out 7 ships. You might as well send out 8 because you don't know what bad things might happen. Now, I want you to understand something. Solomon invested liberally in his worldly investments because he knew some of his ships would sink. That's why they say in your retirement, right? Diversify. Diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. But for us as Christians, all of our eggs are in the basket of, man, the kingdom of heaven are in the basket of Christ. And here Solomon's like, be a liberal investor, not a conservative one. The thing we need to understand and the difference in worldly investment is there is a risk and you very well could lose out big. It's kind of like the Great Depression. The stock market collapsed. People had all of their investments and people literally lost millions and millions of dollars. They were committing suicide because that was their whole life was wrapped up in that. Solomon understood that in this world, chasing that area of life, that you can lose big, but when you invest in the kingdom of God, let me assure you of something. There is no risk because it's backed by God's promises. And sometimes we forget that. You're like, God, you want me to do this? No, we trust the bank. Is it FDA approved or not FDA? FDA, what is it? That's the food market, ain't it? FDA or something like that? Yeah, shows you how much I'm investing there. But there is no risk because it's backed by God's promises. When we invest in God, we never lose. And the more we invest, the greater the reward. When God says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measures pressed down, shaken together, running over, right? I mean, picture that. Smashed in, pushed in, stomped on, overflowing compared to what we give. Don't forget God's promises. When you get scared of, man, well, the what ifs or this or that, hey, just remember, I love Malachi chapter 3, right? He says, prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. It's a promise. It's not because God needs your money. Please keep your money in your pocket because your money and my money isn't going to accomplish God's work. Do we understand that? But when we trust God and we're willing to obey him, he's able to do some great things with the 2 mites that we have in our wallet. right? That widow woman that has those two mites that says, I don't know what these two mites can accomplish. And God says, hey, she threw in more than they all. And when we come to the door, when God, I don't know, I'm scared, I'm nervous. Hey, prove me. I love how he says, stand toe to toe with me. See if you can firmly stand on my word, because it always comes true. It always comes true. Christ calls us to take risk for the kingdom purpose. Almost every message of America consumerism says the opposite today. Maximize your comfort and security now, not in heaven. Of course, God says the other thing, doesn't he? He says it the other way around. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. And the world just fuels and feeds our selfish desires to put ourselves first, not God. And so we understand, number one, risk and reward. Number two, faith over fear. Faith over fear. Faith over fear. Here, I got a question for you. You ready? When a tree falls in the wood, where does it stay? Wherever it falls. That's a profound thought, isn't it? So profound that God put it in the Bible, right? Look at verse number three. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. Kind of bringing us the picture of a storm, a torrential downpour. They empty themselves upon the earth. And if the trees fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. So that storm comes through, dumps rain, trees fall, winds blow. Kind of the setting here that we have, verse number four says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. That person that's looking at the storm or this or that. And he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Verse number four points out the person who never accomplishes anything because he is waiting on the perfect time. Have you ever found yourself waiting on the perfect time? Maybe to get involved, maybe to start sacrificing, maybe to start giving, maybe to start serving, maybe to start doing this. As Solomon points out in verse number four, the person who never accomplishes anything, and I want you to notice that phrase, never accomplishes anything. Look at it. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He's not accomplishing anything. And he that regardeth of the clouds shall not reap. He's not accomplishing anything because he is waiting on the perfect time. Solomon here highlights the perfect time is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's not next month. There will always be reasons looming of why we can't, and it's called the what ifs of life. Well, man, I know I should start tithing and giving to the Lord what belongs to him, but what if something happens? Has anybody ever been there other than me? Well, what if I can't pay the bills, or what if I start serving and I mess up, or I don't have the talent or ability? What if I obey God's word and it doesn't work? The what ifs of life. The what ifs. There will always be clouds looming and the storms of life coming, but we won't, or we don't let them control our actions because they are not to be our focus. And I want you to think about this. When we're commanded to do something for the Lord, should our focus be the Lord, or should our focus be the storms that are looming in our life? The Lord. Okay, case in point. Peter. He's on the boat. He sees Jesus walking on the water. He says, who's that? And the Lord. And Peter says, bid me to come to you. Does anybody remember the condition that night? Was there a storm happening? Was there waves that were boisterous? Yes, there was. But you know what? Peter's focus was on Jesus in the storm, not the storm. And if it was on the storm, see, the other 11 guys were probably focused on the storm. That's why they didn't get out of the boat. But there was one guy who was focused on the Savior, which prompted him to get out of the boat because he was focused on the Savior, not the storms of life. And I love that even when we step out of the boat, and maybe that storm does catch our eye, that because we put our faith in the Lord, He doesn't let us sink. Do you realize that whenever you step out by faith and seek the Lord, even though you might be scared by those storms that come and maybe even get nervous at times and maybe even regress a little bit, that God will not let you fall? I love that right there. He was close enough. Hey, Lord, save me. Lord reaches down, picks him up. It's easy to get our focus on the wrong things. Because he stepped out and trusted God, he won't let you sink. Or because he stepped out and trusted God, he won't let him sink. He won't let you sink either. You know, I get it. It's scary. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are scary. I mean, let's be real. It's faith. It's faith and the risk that we take, really, it's overcoming the own fears in our own head. Because God has shown himself in Scripture to be faithful time and time and time and time again. Whether you're the David fighting a Goliath, hey, God's going to take care of you. Or you're the Daniel in the lion's den, God's going to take care of you. Or you're the Shadrach and the Meshach and Abednego getting ready to get thrown into the fire. Or you're the Esther that needs to go before the king, which could risk her own life. God has proven time and time again that he's faithful. Don't let the fear of life, the what ifs, the storms, the what could be's, stop you from accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish. I promise you, if we let into all the fears, we would not be having a groundbreaking service July 20th. We would not be. Because I tell you what, the fears are screaming loud. And if they're not to you, they are to me. But the reality is I'm not the one doing the work, and neither are you. And we must understand that without him, we can do nothing. And too often, we're afraid to step out because we're looking at what we can do in our own strength and in our own power and in our own resources. God's like, I'm not interested in what you can do. I'm interested in what I can do through you. And God always challenges us to step out and do greater things than what we could ever do. Here, don't let fear stop you. Don't let the what ifs. Never allow the possibility of failure to deter you from what you think God is calling you to do. The fear of failure can be paralyzing, and there are many who never take risk because, after all, right, I could fail. You know what? We can't fail if we're stepping out in faith doing what God tells us to do. Have you ever thought about that? The things that I can take the most courage in moving forward in my life are the things that I absolutely know, no matter how impossible they may seem, the things that I know of a certainty God wants me to step out and do. Because I know that he's doing the work. Maybe you're here today and God's nudging you. Hey, I want you to start doing this. Maybe it's teaching. We just got done revival. Remember, the messages are over, but the work is yet to be done. The work is yet to be done. How many of you were, hey, I had people come up all the time, hey, I need to be baptized. Hey, take that step. Well, I'm afraid. Hey, take that step. Be obedient. Hey, I know I should be tithing, but I don't. I know I should be teaching, but I'm not. I know I should be serving. I know I need to go next door and tell my neighbor the gospel and invite him out to church and give him that gospel track. Listen, don't let fear paralyze you, because you'll always have or the perceived perception of a storm in your life. Remember, risk and reward, faith over fear, and number three, lastly, trust over control. Trust over control. Does anybody in here like having control? Who does the majority of the driving in this room? Like, okay, husbands and wives, let me break it down. What husbands in here trust your wife to drive? Raise your hand. Okay, I'm really trying to start a fight. No, I'm just kidding. You know, it's a shame because in our culture, you know, you hear the cliche, right? Jesus, take the wheel. But how many Christians really truly let Jesus take the wheel of their life? I mean, wholeheartedly. It's a cliche. It sounds good in our life, you know, but how many of us truly let the Lord take control? Because we like to have the control. And here, Solomon challenges us to trust over control. Instead of having control, trust the Lord and let Him have control. Trust the Lord and let Him have control. Look at verse number 5. As thou knowest not. I want you to notice that phrase. That phrase is mentioned two times in here. Two times in one verse. And thou knowest not. He's talking about what man does not know. And I want you to think about who it's coming from. It's coming from the wisest man in Scripture apart from Jesus Christ. So he is identifying here two things that he himself, as the wisest man, which also would include the rest of man, that we know not. It says, and thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, okay? What is the way of the Spirit? The Spirit of man and the Spirit of God, right? Nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not. What don't we know? What's that next phrase? What don't we know? The works of God who maketh all things. Too many Christians want to control what they don't understand. Too many Christians want to control what they don't understand. God, I don't understand how reading the Bible daily will make me a stronger Christian. I don't even understand half of it. Anybody ever been there? I don't understand how giving my tithes to you through the church is investing in the eternal kingdom of heaven. God, I don't understand how believing in Jesus as the Son of God and His death, burial, and resurrection can wash away my sins and give me eternal life. What Solomon is trying to highlight here is the works of God and how He does what He does is beyond our comprehension as humans. But what He does highlight is that we can trust Him. He makes that beautiful baby in the womb, and even to this day, we still don't understand how He does it. God is the author of life, and He understands it indefinitely more than we do. He knows what we need in our life. Life is a mystery, and the only one who truly understands it is the one who created it. Like the baby in the womb and how God formed the bones, it's a mystery still to us, even to this day. We don't know how God does what He does. Yes, we can watch, we can see, we have the sonograms and all of those things, but we just don't know just how God does it. God is the master craftsman. Our life will be far better in His control than our control. He's the master craftsman, and our life will be far better in His control than our control. You don't know what God is doing in your life. And how many times have you wanted to quit when things just seem to go haywire in your life? And you're like, God, why is this storm? What's happening? Why did you allow this? God's like, hey, you can trust me. You can trust me. Don't walk away. Don't give up. You can trust me. God is working behind the scenes in ways that we don't understand. You can trust Him. Verse 6 concludes with stop standing still. Stop standing still and get busy. In the morning, verse number 6 says, in the morning, hey, it gives us the sense of first thing, don't delay. As soon as you get up kind of mindset, get busy. Solomon goes through risk, reward, fears, and failures, and he says, now it is time to stop standing still and start getting busy. Don't delay. In the morning, what's he say? Sow thy seed. Get up regardless of the clouds in the sky, regardless of the storm. Because here's the reality. There's a crop over there across the street of Timothy Hay. If that crop stays up there too long, well, it might snow, right? It might rain today, or could snow. I mean, up here we are in the UP. This storm could come in. And I've had these type conversations with different farmers from around the area, and eventually they have to get out their mower and go cut the grass, if you know what I'm saying. Because if not, it's going to be a wasted crop, regardless of what the signs of the clouds might be. Does anybody get that? In the morning, sow thy seed. Get busy. Don't let the what ifs stop you. And in the evening, withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Let me ask you a question today. What has the Lord been telling you? It's time to do. What is your next step in drawing nearer to the Lord? So to say that Peter stepping out of the boat, what is your next step to draw closer to the Lord? I mean, what is it? What is it? What's your next step? I want you to think about that. Because every minute that you delay from doing it, I promise you, we become complacent and we become comfortable. And we become calloused towards staying where we're at in the safe zone, termed playing it safe Christians. I'm glad Jesus wasn't like that, aren't you? I'm glad Jesus didn't play it safe. I'm glad he didn't say from heaven, hey guys, you know, this is the problem, you know, the Ten Commandments, right? You know, this is the problem. I hope you guys can figure it out, man. I'm rooting for you guys. I sure am glad that we serve a Savior that didn't play it safe for us, but that he bankrupted and gave up everything, heavenly speaking, to come down here. I pray that we have that same passion, the same fervor for the Lord. What has God been telling you? It's time to do. But you keep looking at the clouds and the storms of life, and they have paralyzed you, or the what ifs, or the excuses, or whatever reason you're coming up with. Because when we get to heaven, there's not going to be an excuse. Well, God, I was really busy. God, I didn't have the time. God, I didn't have the talent. When we get to heaven, you do realize that you're not going to be able to have a justifiable excuse to get yourself out of it, you know what I'm saying? Scripture talks about that. You can trust God with the outcome even though you can't see it. And here's the reality. You will, this is the thing that baffles me, right? As Christians, we will always prosper when we step out in faith to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. Failure, is God a failure? Everything that God wants us to do and step out on, we will be successful at when we step out on it, because it's what he wants us to do. I love the guarantee. I like here. It says, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper. You know, Solomon might not have been able to of a certainty as he sought his own fleshly gains, worldly gains, that when he sent those ships out, he might not have been able to guarantee that if Eight ships went out. Eight ships were going to come back. But I can say this, when we give to God, when we step out by faith for the Lord, we will always, always prosper. Look at Daniel. Daniel's a perfect example of that. My man set out to seek the Lord with his whole heart from the time of his captivity as a teenager. And we see him throughout the book of Daniel just being exalted and exalted and exalted and exalted and used by God as he continually stepped out by faith in some very, very hard situations to seek the Lord. You could trust God with the outcome even though you can't see it. There's great admiration for risk takers in the Bible, whether it's Joab facing the Syrians on this side, the Ammonites, and on the other side, said his brother Abishai, but let us be courageous for the people, and may the Lord do what seemed good to him. Too many Christians got it in their mindset, may the Lord do what seems good to me. But we need to trust and leave the control up to God, because his way is absolutely the best way. Are you willing to take that risk for him? It is time to step out and take that step now. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. This wife's going to come up here. She's going to play the piano. I want you to think about this today. How did God speak to you? What is that question? What is that question? What has the Lord been telling you? You personally. It's time to do. What is the Lord telling you it's time to do? Here's that risk. It's going to take action. What if I mess up? What if I fail? I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm this. I'm that. What if? Hey, listen, you can't let the what ifs of life stop you from taking that step. You know, and the greatest step that you will take by far is taking that step by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came and gave up everything for you. If you're here today and you don't know that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven. You don't know what you would say to God, why he should let you into heaven. Because religion won't get you there. Good works won't get you there. You can't get you there. Your baptism, your confirmation, none of that can get you there. The only thing that can get you there is Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Have you put your faith in Jesus? Well, I don't understand it. It's not for you to understand. He works beyond our comprehension. It's ours to trust. Do you trust? Do you trust your Savior? It's amazing that we'll say as Christians, we trust Him with our soul, but we don't trust Him with our finances. We don't trust Him with our time. I love the Lord Jesus on the cross when He said, Father, into Thy hand I commend my spirit. He knew He could trust His Heavenly Father with His life. Do you trust your Heavenly Father with your life? Or are you too busy grabbing? And you like the cliche of God take the steering wheel, but in honesty, you're still holding tight to it. It's time to step out and take that step. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's picking up your Bible today and starting reading it now. I don't know how God spoke to you, but pray it in. Act on it today. As the worship team comes, let's pray. Father, I'm grateful to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm grateful to have your word, Lord God, to remind us, Lord, to step out of the boat, to take that risk, knowing that we will be prosperous when we're stepping out in faith towards you. Lord, I pray that you would take the words today, the scriptures that were spoken, and that you would let them resonate in our hearts and in our minds, that we would not let the clouds and the storms of life stop us from stepping out, to be the Christians that, never really accomplish anything. But Lord, I pray that you would fill this place full of Christians who are willing to step out to accomplish great things for you, even though their footing they're not sure of. Their finances may not all make sense. They don't see that they have the talent to accomplish what you're calling them to. Lord, just help us, each one of us, to obey you, Lord, and what you've called us to do personally in our next relationship step with you. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.